1 o'clock. This is BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. It's time now for the news with Vaughan Savage.
The extremist Muslim cleric Abu Qatada has appeared in court in the Jordanian capital Amman, accused of terrorism offences. He denied the charges. His return brings to an end an eight-year legal battle by successive British governments to have him deported. David Cameron said he was delighted that Abu Qatada had finally gone and said he would be putting forward proposals to speed up the process of deporting people regarded as a threat to Britain. Labour's deputy leader Harriet Harman has promised a significant change in the party's relationship with the unions. Labour is involved in a row with the Unite Union about the process to choose a candidate to stand in the Falkirk constituency. Ms Harman said the party would impose a cap on campaign spending, so candidates were less reliant on union funding. Police in Canada say dozens of people are feared dead after a runaway train laden with oil derailed and exploded in the centre of a small town. One person is confirmed to have been killed in the accident in Lac Megantic in Quebec. The South Korean airline Asiana says it doesn't believe mechanical failure caused one of its aircraft to crash land and burst into flames at San Francisco Airport last night. Two people were killed, but more than 300 survived when the Boeing 777 came down short of the runway, ripping off the aircraft's tail. A man is reported to have disrupted a church service at York Minster, attended by members of the Church of England Synod. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, is said to have witnessed the incident in which a man lashed out at stewards as the Archbishop of York, John Sentamu, was giving a sermon. A man has been arrested. Tennis. Andy Murray is preparing to take on the world number one Novak Djokovic in the men's singles final at Wimbledon. Murray is hoping to become the first British man to lift the trophy in 77 years. The weather, most areas will have a dry, sunny and very warm afternoon. It'll be cloudier and cooler in the far north, with the chance of a shower on some hills. The BBC News and Weather at 2:30 past one.
And that was read by Vaughan Savage. Well, now it's time for the early music show, live from York, with Catherine Bott.
Well, we've just heard the news. Apparently the weather's going to be dry and sunny. Down south in Wimbledon, Andy Murray wouldn't know what a gut string was if it came up and hit him. But here in the National Centre for Early Music, it's well warm. And we've got lots of gut strings to delight us all because the York Early Music Festival began last Friday. This is our 10th annual live show. From the National Centre for Early Music, there's lots of familiar faces and some new ones, including a guide dog called Winter, but it's most emphatically summer here. As usual, I'm going to be joined by Delma Tomlin, who's director of the National Centre for Early Music, and she's going to talk me through some of the highlights of this year's festival. What a weasel word that is. Where there are highlights, are there lowlights? I don't think so, not from this programme. And I'm going to be talking to local hero Yestin Davis, fresh from his recital of Dowland songs last night. We're running a bit of a theme with Dowland, as you'll learn. We'll have live music from lutenist Thomas Dunford, the Rose Consort of Viols, soprano Bethany Seymour, and first of all from harpsichordist Fabio Bonizzoni. Fabio's going to play now. This is the first toccata from Girolamo Frescobaldi's first book of keyboard pieces. Thank you. Fabio Bonizzoni, a man who, as far as I'm concerned, has accessed the window into Frescobaldi's soul. He was playing live here at the National Centre for Early Music. That was Frescobaldi's Toccata Primo from his first book of keyboard pieces, published in 1615. And you'll be glad to know, as am I, that we're going to be hearing from Fabio in conversation and in music before the end of the show. Meanwhile, sitting with me at the table is Dr. Delma Tomlin, who's director of the National Centre for Early Music, largely responsible for bringing this wonderful festival with no low lights to the light. Tell me about this year's theme, Delma.
There are three themes, really.
Just
running,
the three,
Kate.
Okay.
There's the Dowland theme, so there's the 450th anniversary of his birth. There's the Corelli theme, 300th anniversary of his death. I think I've got that the right way around. And then, bizarrely, there's also a theme about ukuleles.
Right, so this... wait a minute, I've got to stop there. The Rome, the Eternal City, that's on the cover of the festival programme.
That's Corelli. There's a lot of that. And we've had some fantastic... Obviously, it's opened up an enormously rich theme, which has allowed us to invite Laura Zananza and Music Antica Roma this afternoon, and indeed the Ensemble Medusa, who are coming with a really very interesting programme about the Borgias. So we have to be a little bit careful about that particular one. Corelli, of course, was a genius, but the ukuleles do keep coming back, I'm afraid.
Yes, lutes and ukes, with the N double apostrophe.
Yes, it's because we've been working with nearly 200 primary school children across the city on various pieces to do with the ukuleles, who will then come together with the lutes on Tuesday lunchtime for those who are around, and then we'll nip back then to Corelli.
Well, Delma, knowing you, I would never be surprised to find that you were actually the woman who got 200 primary school children playing the lute.
Ah, now that would be a bit of a challenge, wouldn't it?
Next year. Well, given the amount of Dowland in this year's programme, it's hardly surprising, but very good news, that you've persuaded some of the world's best lutenists to come to the festival. And just here are a few of the names. I hope I've got most of them in. Jacob Lindberg, Elizabeth Kenny, Paul Odette, who's giving a solo recital tonight, Paula Chateauneuf, and Thomas Dunford, who, amazingly enough, seems to be sitting right in front of me. He played last night with countertenor Yestin Davis. We're going to talk to Yestin and Thomas in a minute, but before that, Thomas is going to play a little bit of Dowland. Dowland's Frog Galliard, played by Thomas Dunford. And he and Yestin Davis have now joined me at the table Do you want a tune while I talk to Yestin? I mean, I know how
That's
it is.
A good idea.
It's terrible weather for strings and vocal cords. How are your vocal folds today, Yestin? Because you're in between recitals. You're a very busy boy, aren't you?
Yeah, we did a recital on Friday night at the Wigmore Hall in London. Then we got the train here at 8 in the morning on Saturday. And then we did our afternoon concert yesterday. And then we've got a Lichfield concert at 10 p.m. tomorrow night in Lichfield Cathedral. So,
but you've kindly put on your festival red socks and come to join us
on your day off.
Yeah, I should say that Yestin is one of an increasing number of international superstars who actually has moved to York to live. So you're not just here at festival time.
No,
this is your home.
I am just here at festival time this year. I'm away a lot this year, but I do have a house here in York. I've lived here for 5 years, I think. I was born here, and I came back a few years ago. As you all know, it's a lovely place to live, and we get the best weather in this part
especially
of Yorkshire.
For today. Now, I read in the Twitter sphere that just as international pop superstar Sting likes to sing Dowland, you like to encore with songs by Sting.
Almost. At the Wigmore Hall on Friday night, we did our usual normal encore. We did some Campion, which was very funny. And then we decided to return the favour that Sting offered the world, which was to introduce Dowland to many people who hadn't heard it, to introduce one of his songs, Every Breath You Take, which fits the lute rather magically, actually. And, I mean, Tom just demonstrated the beginning. Perfect. Anyway, there were lots of people at the concert who hadn't heard the song, which was a good thing. But I'm not sure whether we're going to do it all the time. It's a one-off, I think.
But in general, you are very interested in extending the countertenor repertoire, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, at that concert, Nico Muhly, the young American composer, we commissioned a new piece for him, for him to write for us, called Old Bones, which is based actually on the rediscovery of Richard III's skeleton in Leicester. So we used excerpts from the BBC News broadcast about the archaeological dig, quotations from the lady who was seen at the car park jumping around very excitedly about the big R on the floor, which was a big sort of passionate section, and then poetry from a poet of the time of Richard III, who wrote about Rhys ap Thomas, who is a Welsh knight who was supposed to be the person who slayed Richard the final blow. And the connection there was really that Richard, being the sort of Yorkist, so I'm from York, I did archaeology at university, and all my ancestors are buried in the same church in Carmarthen, so it was a nice tie there.
Yeah, I mean, we get rather overuse of that ticks all the boxes, but that really does, doesn't it?
It did. I think that was lost on a lot of the audience, but actually the relevance of a piece of music which is dealing with a current affairs issue, it was right up to the minute, and I think few decades, few hundred years' time, if people are singing it, there'll be people who'd said, in their diaries, we were there when the actual thing happened.
And Thomas, what about playing Dowland? He's such a big theme of this year's festival. You were accompanying Yestin last night and playing some solos.
Yeah, he's my favourite.
He's your favourite of that era?
Of all lute composers. Since I got this Dinah Poulton book, John Dowland, when I was around 9. Just kept on playing Dowland and obsessing with Dowland, listening to Paul Odette all the time, trying to play with his exactly with his super precise, nice notes. I was obsessed with Dowland. And I still love it. I think it's some of the greatest lute music written. The counterpoints and the every piece is very different as well.
Well, one thing that we associate with Dowland is misery and dolor. And you are actually now going to go back to the padded stool and play us a piece that really sums up that side of Dowland's genius, aren't you? Well, what are you going to play?
The Lacrimae, which is...
Tears.
Flow My Tears. But Yestin wants to rest his voice today. So.
We'll imagine him, but thanks. Dowland's Lacrimae, played with a great deal of love and devotion by Thomas Dunford. So our thanks to Thomas and to Yestin Davis, and chaps, do enjoy the rest of your day off. Now, the news in my headphones just before we came on air was a bit dispiriting, really. But there is good news occasionally. And here's a local story. Local girl makes good, comes home to put something back. Welcome, soprano Bethany Seymour.
Hi.
You are the recent recipient of, let me get this right, a BBC Performing Arts Fund Fellowship Award.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, my fellowship is in collaboration with the National Centre for Early Music. There are 19 of us of all, I believe, this year. My fellowship, as I said, is with the National Centre, but others are with other centres around the country. And it involves a range of opportunities, such as performance opportunities, like today. And I just performed at the opening night of the festival, and I'll be also performing in the Christmas festival. Brochure out today, everyone.
Well, she's learning about marketing already.
But also educational projects, and such as a musical play in the week, which runs in August, and a little bit different, conducting opportunities, which will be a new thing for me.
Now, that I really do envy. Whom are you going to conduct?
The Minster Minstrels and a vocal group, whoever would like to take part. Young children in York area, listen out now.
The world needs more female conductors, so good luck with that one. I do think it's vastly amusing and very praiseworthy that, in part, this fellowship is funded by money raised by telephone calls to the popular talent show on BBC television, The Voice. And that's very, very appropriate, because we're not letting you get away. We've given Yestin a day off. But most of us, we find, when we appear on Radio 3, if we're a singer, we have to sing. And you're going to sing for us now with your father at the harpsichord, Peter Seymour, well-known to York audiences. And you've chosen a most remarkably dramatic piece by Carissimi.
Yes.
Tell me what it's about.
Well, it's his representation of the last letter of Maria Stuarda, the night before she was executed by Elizabeth I. And it's a full lament of a full range of emotions going on, starting off quite strict and asking the sacrilegious minister, of course, would have been a Protestant at that time, her being a Catholic, asking him to stop and let her speak, have her say. She's addressing the world and the wider Catholic community. And it starts off very poignant, and she's trying to get her point across, saying she's very innocent, then moves on to a very tender section where she's addressing her maidens, her ladies-in-waiting, and saying, I do not leave my duties with you without a fight. And then ends, as I thought, quite fiery, but as you said, it's actually just very angry. And then it moves on, and as you will hear, very high passages.
Well, if you'd like to go over to your stand, I'll just fill in a little bit more detail while you get your vocal cords in order. This piece is full of righteous anger. There's no doubt in Carissimi was a very devout man. He was a priest. King Charles II tried in vain to persuade him to move to England and become his court composer, but he wanted to stay in Rome. And this is full of righteous anger. There's no room for moral ambiguity here. All the things we've since found out about whether Mary, Queen of Scots, was perhaps a little bit more sinning than sinned against, there's nothing of that in here. It's full of pathos and drama. She is, as far as Carissimi is concerned, a Catholic martyr. And here is Bethany Seymour with Peter Seymour to sing Il Lamento in Morte di Maria Stuarda by Carissimi. Mary, Queen of Scots, went to her death. Her body was divided, but her soul was united with God. Il lamento in morte di Maria Stuarda, my carissimi, sung by Bethany Seymour with Peter Seymour at the harpsichord. And very good luck from all of us here today, Bethany, as you take up your fellowship. Now, one of the events at this year's festival is the annual Plain Song and Medieval Music Society Conference. It's normally held at Easter, but it's the Society's 125th anniversary this year, so they thought it would be good to come and enjoy the festivities in York. They've moved to July. I'll be joined in a few minutes by one of the conference delegates, Dr. Lisa Colton from Huddersfield University. But before we meet her, let's hear something on CD, an anonymous plain chant, Locus Iste. It's famous internationally, really, through many centuries and many territories. It's a dedicatory piece when a sacred building is being dedicated. Locus Iste, performed on CD by Ensemble Venance. Voices of Ensemble Venance with the chant Locus Iste to play in Dr. Lisa Colton. Welcome, Lisa. Tell me what normally happens at a conference, the annual conference of the Plain Song and Medieval Music Society.
Well, our annual conference is a way to get everyone together under a particular theme. So last year, our particular theme was music and death before 1600. This year, we thought we'd try something chirpier. And the conference theme is called There's No Place Like Rome, Centres of Music, yes, Music and Liturgy before 1550. We chose this theme specifically to tie in with this year's York Early Music Festival, but also because Rome is just obviously the obvious place to look to for a big anniversary such as our 125th anniversary, Rome being so important in the history of music more generally and liturgy in particular.
And has this year's conference so far produced any major surprises and revelations?
Well, we are taking an interesting look at Rome in that some of the papers that focus on Rome are thinking about influence on Rome rather than Rome being the centre of the universe and everyone else being a pale reflection, if you like. We might think of the early part of the 15th century where there was a pope in Avignon as well. So the influence of the liturgy in Avignon perhaps on Roman liturgy. But also looking at places which were centres in their own right, but which were not necessarily just some reflection of Roman practice. everywhere from St Albans to the old Hispanic chant that Emma Hornby is going to be talking about in her public lecture.
I have to say, as a non-conference girl, well, not very often anyway, I like to think of what happens at conferences after hours. And in this particular case, you must all sort of pour, you know, cheerful glasses or made of horn or something very authentic. And I like to think of you all sitting round chanting a bit late in the evening. Do you?
I wouldn't possibly say in public. The conference is not just papers and lectures. We also have music making, and we've been involved with the festival designing a lovely evening concert with John Potter and Chris O'Gorman to sing Parisian Conductus, to think about that particular centre of Notre Dame Polyphony, and also that we're linking it into other things happening that are more practically focused. So we're not just reading papers in sort of a dignified silence.
No, I'm looking at you, I'm sure you wouldn't do that. That sounds really satisfying. It's lovely that you've integrated it with this Roman-themed festival. Well, you said that you had Music and Death last year.
Yes.
This year, something chirpier. We're going to have some more live music now, and... No, we're not. No, forgive me, we're going to give the Rose Consort of Viols a bit of time to tweak their gut strings, and we're going to hear a motet sung by the Hilliard Ensemble on CD. I love live radio. Thomas Gemma Cantuarie. Why have you chosen this, Lisa?
Well, apart from the fact it probably is one of my favourite motets, Thomas Gemma Cantuarie is a motet that celebrates Canterbury and perhaps England's most famous saint, St Thomas, Thomas Becket. It also celebrates St Thomas of Dover, who was killed by pirates, the French pirates, of course. So it's a motet that really links in with our Conference of Centres. It has relatively little to do with Rome, and it really thinks about musical practices that were at their height in England around 1300.
Well, let us hear the Hilliard Ensemble with Thomas Gemma or Gemma Cantuarie.
Thomas Jesus, it no
jolly piece in celebration of Thomas. That was the Hilliard Ensemble, and my thanks to Dr. Lisa Colton. You're listening to the Early Music Show on BBC Radio 3. We're coming live from the National Centre for Early Music and the York Early Music Festival. I'm Catherine Bott. And now, having earlier frightened the Rose Consort half to death by trying to persuade you all they were going to play when they weren't, now they are, and they're going to play a piece by Holborn. Thank you. Almain, the Honeysuckle by Anthony Holborn. And with me now is John Bryan of the Rhodes Consort of Viols. Always cool under fire. You just nipped over here to the table. I want to ask you, you performed in your concert last night, a programme almost entirely of Dowland, but it must have been marvellous. Sorry I wasn't here to hear it. But where does Holborn fit in? Is he a sort of bit underexposed compared with Dowland? Because he deserves lots of attention, doesn't he?
He does. He's possibly a little underexposed now, though in their own lifetimes, I think they were both probably quite famous. Dowland dedicated I Saw My Lady Weep, the first song of his second book of songs, to the most famous Anthony Holborn. So in Dowland's eyes, Holborn was a genius. And in fact, what the music we're playing today is taken from the first ever printed collection of dance music in Britain, printed by Holborn in 1599 and preceding Dowland's own Lacrimae collection. So he was ahead of the game.
And you're going to play now a pavan in A minor. Is this a truly melancholic pavan or just a slow and graceful dance?
It's got a touch of the Dowlands about it. Interestingly, in this 1599 collection, he titles some of his pieces with typically melancholic titles, The Image of Melancholy, The Funerals, Pluravit, etc. But some of the pavans that have no titles whatsoever are more like Lacrimae than those that have titles. And I rather think this one we're going to play you has certainly more than a little of Dowland in it.
Well, I'll leave you to run back to your viol. Thank you very much, John. We're going to hear the Rhodes Consort of Viols playing Holborn's pavan in A minor.
Thank you.
A Touch of the Dowlands, but the composer is Anthony Holborn. That was the Rose Consort of Viols with a Pavan. Back with me at the Blue Table is Dr. Delma Tomlin, and I want to ask you about one of my favourite every other year events in this festival, which is the International Young Artists Competition. I've been a judge, I've been a compere. I always love to go because it seems to me to be a model of how these competitions should work. Tell me about this year's.
Thank you, Kate. We're inviting this year 38 young musicians from across Europe and beyond. The and beyond is increasingly an interesting moment because there's a whole issue about visas and bringing people into Europe. But we have got news this morning that the very last person that we needed, as it were, from Belarus is on the way. So I'm particularly excited and pleased to obviously be able to welcome her along with everybody else. We have a panel of judges led by Lawrence Cummings this year. And the idea, as people around the table will know indeed, is that the young artists are invited for the first 2 days to settle into York, to enjoy the atmosphere, to meet each other and to play in quite relaxed circumstances, a recital which starts to begin to develop the audience for those young artists into the future. And on the Saturday, the 13th of July, the whole thing changes into a competition. And then everyone has a different programme. And, of course, there are indeed a panel of judges at the end of it will choose somebody. And this year, as well as our prize, which is partly an invitation to return to York, partly a recording, a professional recording with a professional company, she said carefully. There's now a new prize as well with the European Union Baroque Orchestra has brought in a Development Trust Prize for the most promising European-based instrumentalist. And there's the Friends Prize, the all-important Friends Prize.
Very important, because those friends are very discerning people.
They're good.
No, but the Early Music Show will be covering it for broadcast later in the summer, and not only the winners are wonderful in this competition, and it's not only the winners who go on to great things. Thank you very much, Delma. Now a little bit more music, more Holborn and St. Peter Phillips. The Rose Consort of Viols play Holborn's Pavan in G major and Peter Phillips's Noel's Galliard. The Rose Consort of Viols, Ibi Aziz, John Bryan, Alison Crum, Roy Marks and Peter Wendland. Well, we're nearly at the end of the programme, although I'm happy to say we've been granted a little extra time today. So there's time not only for one more piece of live music, but also for me to chat briefly to Fabio Bonizzoni. Fabio, it is so nice to see you here at a table. The last time we spoke for the Early Music Show, you were down a line in another country, and it's much nicer to have you here in the flesh. Tell me about Corelli, your programme tomorrow evening. Why Corelli?
Well, Corelli because of the anniversary, of course, but first of all because it's very nice music. And we all love, I would say, to perform it. And we're quite busy this year with Corelli, actually, and we have the chance to play not only his trio sonatas or sonatas like tomorrow, but sometimes his Concerti Grossi, which is as well marvellous. But tomorrow is maybe interesting to hear a never-heard Corelli, so to say, which is the vocal Corelli, which is actually a contribution not only of Corelli himself, but of a composer, let's say, of 50 years later, Antonio Tonelli, who made a very nice arrangement of some of the trio sonata, of the Da Chiesa trio sonata by Corelli, adding voices to the texture of Corelli strings music. And it sounds very good.
That is a surprise. I mean, yeah. Not that it sounds good, I should listen to that. But we do really associate Corelli with violin music.
Yeah, but this this arrangement, because we talk about arrangements of his music, they sound very good. I mean, Tonelli was not, you know, the best composer in the world. He was rather a pedagogue, actually. But he has been very, very clever in choosing which trio sonata to arrange, which text to add to the trio sonatas, when to have the voices singing, when resting. And the whole, I mean, at the end we hear Corelli music, definitely, because it's just that, but with a new sound. And in a way, we are even able, having two voices, to even emphasize some of the aspect of his music. We always hear that Corelli was writing in a kind of vocal way for the violin. And actually, tomorrow we can hear that it's true. I mean, because when you give two voices, the violin lines, they sound very natural to the voice.
Well, you can imagine, of course, the Early Music Show is recording that programme. And we're having a Corelli weekend next weekend. Now, you're going to play for us now one more piece, not Corelli, Geminiani.
Geminiani, yeah. Geminiani was a student of Corelli, on the violin, of course. But if Corelli wrote only for the violin, actually, a violin band, so to say, Geminiani wrote different music, including some harpsichord pieces, actually two books, and particularly the first one I think is very interesting. And although Geminiani is Italian, lived in London and all that, but for the harpsichord he wrote in a clear French style, actually. So we're going to hear some French music at the end, even if it comes from an Italian.
Well, thank you very much, Fabio. I'm looking forward keenly to tomorrow night's concert, and go to the harpsichord, because we're going to hear, by Geminiani, in very much in the French style, L'Amoureusement.